This is Bart Isley here with the Skirmish Play Podcast, here with Ryan Yeaman to talk about, last week we got a chance to talk about the teams that you knew their pedigree coming into this year. You knew that they were squads that you didn't want to mess with. They all went to state finals last year. This week, though, we're only 2 weeks in to spring sports, and we've already learned a lot. You know, and I think that we want to dive into some of those teams that, maybe you didn't expect to be great, but look pretty darn good right now.
Yeah, I think the most fun of any switch between seasons is probably like just learning the great unknowns, getting to see these teams in person, and a lot of just new storylines. That's always the rewarding part for us, is to see something different. Definitely, the March is such a strange month in spring sports, especially for stick sports like baseball and softball that kind of get off to a slow start. Some of them, they don't really get rolling until April. So
unless you're Covenant Baseball, and then you've already got 11 games in the books.
Yeah, yeah. Covenant apparently started its postseason in February. So, yeah, it's weird in some of those sports. Soccer always gets off to a pretty steady start, and we're getting a sample size of each of these different schools and getting to really sort of get a feel on the pulse of what's happening out there.
So one of those teams that you've got to start with, because they've had a really nice start to the year, Charlottesville Boys Soccer. They're a team that I wouldn't call them a complete unknown. They've been really building the last few years, and this seems to be a year that they've built to, in a lot of ways, a really good mix of young talent and kind of guys that have been there for a while. And I think that you had even said, all right, like, we ought to go see Charlottesville Boys Soccer early. And two games in, they knocked off, they beat Monticello handily, and then they beat an Altmore Boys Soccer squad that we agree, and they're banged up, but we agree is going to be a really good soccer team. They beat them 3-1. A pretty great start for Charlottesville Boys Soccer.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a huge win for them, because it's been sort of a three-team bonanza for the JD boys between Charlottesville, Albemarle, and Western. And Charlottesville's always played Western really well. For them to get one over on Albemarle, that's huge for those group of young guys. I mean, that was a pretty experienced group last year that made the run that they did, getting out of the conference, getting out of the region. And, a little bit of a surprise the way they pieced things together in the playoffs last year, just with their coach was missing for some games. Yeah. A really impressive run for them. But you lose Theo Hurd and a couple of those really important players, Osman. But they returned another Osman this year.
Yeah.
So a big step forward for them. We'll see if they can ride this momentum into something bigger.
Yeah, really, it was fun. It's fun to watch them play because defensively they're really sound. They've got two guys that are really helping on that front in Yahya Muhammad and Kyle Leonard, and those two guys at center back were really fantastic against Salmar in particular. Just played solid throughout. And then you flip over, and then on offense, they've got a ton. They were missing guys in the Almar game too. Campbell Brickhouse and Barun Taman were both out. And I apologize for butchering the names, but we mostly have to write it. We usually don't have to say it. So, but those two guys were out, but they got really good offensive effort from BBM Osman. Changes everything up at the top. The guy is super fast, whether he's coming down the left, he's coming down the right, it really doesn't matter. He's just a tremendous sort of electric guy. And you throw him in with Alex Pfister, who is really a capable midfielder. And Osman himself has said there are so many good midfielders on this team that they can play anybody anywhere. And that makes them dangerous, because if something's not working, they're going to switch it up and they're going to put another piece right in there.
And here's the thing about Charlottesville Boys Soccer, just as the brand that they've played over the years, is it's always been very fearless. So having those guys that can get after the 50-50s at midfield, that's huge for them. Because they've always had somebody that's been very good improvisationally, whether it's striker or up front, something like that. So their strength in the middle now, I feel like that just gives them an opportunity to really develop something potentially very big. It's always a really creative, fun team to watch.
Yeah.
Because they're just so aggressive and, just get at the net. it's a fun brand to watch.
Yeah, and I think that was, I gotta admit, but that was, I was kind of expecting the other shoe to drop at some point in the Albemarle game. They go up 3-0, but my thought was like, okay, they probably will become a little bit, you know, undisciplined here in the back. Not a fair assumption on my part. They are really, really good in the back. They play really well back there. They've got athletes back there, and they've got smart players back there who understand the game really well. They've played in soccer or, you know, other organizations for years, and that's making a big difference for them. They're very tough in the back, and they're, like you said, they're always really good up at the top. So a really good combination that Charlottesville's working with right now. It's going to be exciting to see what they're able to do.
Yeah, if you get Charlottesville playing at as high a level as Albemarle and Western have in years past, if you get all three of those teams playing at that level, it's going to be huge for all three programs that branch off into three separate groups come playoff time. I mean, the coaches for these teams love this sort of parity in the Jefferson District if they can get it.
Another one of these teams that this is another one that Charlottesville boys soccer, that's a team that you expect to be pretty good. Generally speaking, that's a strong program that's been really good over the year. They've played for some big stuff. Another one like that, Stab Girls Lacrosse, but with all the departures they've had over the last 2 years, this definitely felt is, I think, a rebuilding year for them.
I mean, of St. Anne's perennially under Mary Blake has just been the local girls lacrosse powerhouse, and then on a state level, you know, they always compete with collegiate in the LS finals, and then beyond that, making the state final four at Division One, where it's like Bishop Ireton and St. Stephen, St. Agnes, just these teams that send 7, 8, 9 kids to Division One programs.
Yeah,
it's just absurd.
And they got 9 in every class, so it's like the freshmen are also going somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, Stab probably should be competing in Division Two level. That's not their game. They bump up to this. They had won state title after state title at the Division Two level before they made this jump, and then we're seeing them trying to climb this mountain. Which is fine when you've got Annie Corey and
Julia Haney.
Yeah, all these Princeton kids playing for your team.
Or you got Audrey Schreck from Denver. Like, they were loaded for 2 years
Giacomo,
there. Super loaded.
But what happens when all those kids graduate? And as it turns out, I mean, this team that's got 4 returning starters, a whole bunch of underclassmen, freshmen that are just playing out of their minds, they're really, really good. So it makes this ascension entirely a possibility for St. Anne's that, you know, they might be able to put themselves on the map with those other, you know, St. Stephen, St. Agnes schools that, I mean, it's incredible to think about. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Mary's quote, wasn't it, that she just doesn't know what she's going to get every night, yeah. Which is typical when you have young players. Fluvanna basketball, boys basketball, experienced it this year.
Yeah, and her sort of assessment was that, It's weird to know what to expect from these kids, but she's seen so much from them early on in different parts of the game. She's like, my expectations for you, if I thought this was just going to be a rebuilding year, no. She's putting the pressure on these kids early on that this team has the ability to be much better than they ever thought.
And it gives you some idea of how quickly things can change. Against Covenant last week, she told me specifically, like, hey, we can't have those kind of championship expectations. But then you go out and you take it to a really good Albemarle team, like they did last night. Like, hey, Mary Blake knows how to get to where she wants to get to. And if she starts to see the right thing, she's going to ratchet those expectations up.
So they have an anchor in goal in Molly Morris. I mean, that can really sort of give a young team confidence when they know if they make a mistake that somebody can just come up with a save on a, you know, one-man opportunity, and all of a sudden, hey, no big deal. Our goalie's got it. That makes a huge difference. But Mackenzie Moyer last year as an underclassman for them, she was a huge part of that run that they made. And she's really tough to figure out if you're on the other team. She's gritty as all get out. She distributes well. And I feel like she's an engine that can sort of drive this group that's got between the Cardin sisters and then Claire Schotta, who was just out of this world good against Albemarle. These are all underclassmen. It's amazing just how fluid this team can be when Moyer is on her game.
Yeah, and I think that's the kind of thing that makes a team really interesting, when you can blend you know, some established players with some really young talent. That's really kind of how you've got to get it done at the high school level, because you're not going to have, you're usually not going to have like 15 good kids in one class. Like, so you've got to find ways to kind of make those pieces fit together and let the experienced players bring the inexperienced players along. So a fast start for Stav Girls Lacrosse, and it's going to be exciting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, I mean, when you got freshmen making passes and backdoor cuts against defenses that are just not used to seeing that, like, that bodes well for you going forward. Like, this isn't just an athletic team, it's a smart team. And I think that's going to be a really big helper for them as they mature and get better. What this team might look like in 2 years is crazy to think about, as good as they are right now.
On a slightly different note, when you look at Blue Ridge Boys Lacrosse, that's a team that had a really good few years there, but they've now, under John Hetzel, they've been trying to build back to that. And they took a really nice step last week with a comeback win over Covenant.
Yeah, it's hard in Central Virginia to have this many private schools play at a really good level, having Woodbury, Covenant, St. Anne's, and Blue Ridge all be there. And it's happened before. I think in 2009, three of those four played in a state final, all, you know, three different
state
divisions.
State final four, but, at least.
Yeah, and then just 3 or 4 years ago, we had great runs from all of them. So it's possible. It's not something that hasn't happened in this area. And if Blue Ridge can keep taking steps forward, play like they did against Covenant, the way we saw them last Friday, it's going to be interesting to watch that team going forward. They have the pieces in a Ty Ewan to play really good lacrosse. You have a game sort of changing goal scorer in Ty Ewan. Now you just got to get it on a consistent basis, getting the other pieces around it. If you want to get that polished product, if you want to put your name up there with the way the St. Anne's boys have been these last dozen years, 20 years, 30 years.
It's a super challenge because Virginia private school lacrosse is really good. I mean, Virginia public school lacrosse is really good. There's talented players sort of all over the place. And so when you get into these situations, they lost, what was it, 18-12, I think, to Woodbury. I think that you've got to figure out, you know, you got to figure out how you're going to stop shots, which is just really difficult with how well everybody is shooting the ball lately. And you got to figure out a way to, you know, it's very simple. You got to figure out ways to pour them in. Mm-hmm. And Ewan, I think, gives them, and Ford gives them, you know, guys who are pretty dynamic offensively.
Yeah, and we saw that against Covenant, that this is a team that just didn't really play all that well for the first 2.5 quarters against a very young Covenant team that's going to be good going forward. And then in the fourth quarter, Blue Ridge just went crazy. Every shot was top shelf. There was no stopping it. They're creating turnovers. It was just fast breaks of the net. And between Ewan and then Reese Rodriguez and Shane Ford, they just really went after it. And it's a team that plays with a lot of energy. They sort of talked about it after the game. The bench keeping them hyped up during that run was really the gasoline on the fire for them.
Yeah. They're kind of, I mean, Blue Ridge football was similar in some ways, like where they would get a big play and then things would snowball from there. I think that you've got to find a way to even some of that out.
Yep, the highs can't get too high, the lows can't get too low.
So you want to get that good, consistent effort so that you know you're the same group every time you go out there. And I think Blue Ridge has a potential, and Hetzel's a pretty good leader on that front, and I think that he can figure out ways to get that done.
Yeah, and he was happy to see, he talked about the resiliency of this team, that it's here in a way that it wasn't in years past. So he's pretty excited about the opportunity that rests for this team going ahead.
Another group that has had some really high highs and, you know, and played really well, you know, in recent years under Corey Hunt is Monticello baseball. I mean, maybe one of the more underrated programs in the area. They're very consistent, you know, I think every year. They find ways to win. It doesn't matter, you know, how the lineup changes or who, you know, is on the pitching staff. They seem to find ways to play to their strengths, and they're back at it again this year.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about how fun the Monroe baseball one was last year. When Monticello made their state Final Four with just a depleted roster because of people leaving to join the Marines. I mean, that was one of the coolest things, is just watching you hear coaches always talk about it. I don't think anybody preaches it more and believes in it more, the next man up. than Corey Hunt. And last year when they lost Parker Heineman, that was a big blow to this team, and it forced a lot of young kids to step up and find a way to replace those innings on the mound. And then that team was just so young in the lineup, just at the plate. I think people forget Monticello won a lot of games in a rebuilding effort last year, and they're a year older, and I think based on just one small sample size, playing a very good Goochland team, this is going to be a team that's going to give people a lot of fits. Monticello baseball is going to be the way they were in 2015. They've got real potential between Tommy Carter and Kevin Jarrell. Is just he's such a well-rounded athlete, a well-rounded baseball player. That's a baseball family. His brother was on that run, the deep playoff run a couple years ago. So this team is one that's maturing, one that looks like they're going to – the JD is already so wide open as it is, and they're just going to make it that much more entertaining the way they play, because they're always – as long as Corey Hunt is the coach, they're always going to be so scrappy, run out ground balls hard, force a lot of errors, do things very creatively on the base paths, try and force teams into mistakes. They're just a – we talked about Charlottesville boys soccer being a fun brand to watch. Monticello baseball is a fun brand to watch.
Yeah, I think that when you look to, there's a need, I think, on some level for Monticello baseball to play really well. I think that they had a frustrating football season over there. The basketball season, it had some bright spots, but this baseball team has really become one of the school's best programs.
It's a staple,
well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think so it's going to be fun to see what they're able to do. I think that when you get that right mix, and I think that the JD is going to be tough, and the conference is going to be tough for them too. Western played a pretty good Palatine team. They went to 10 innings with them and pulled out the win. They've got some young players and some players that have been around. Derek Domek and Garrett Payne have played a really big role in that effort, and Matt Mandel and Chris McGarren and some of those guys that have been there. So Western baseball is in pretty good shape, and Louise is going to be really good.
Orange is going to be good.
Louisiana went over and beat Spotswood. This JD baseball season has the potential to be pretty darn dangerous. I mean, we haven't even talked Bradley Hanner.
Yeah.
13 strikeouts the other night. So Monticello baseball being really good, they're going to be a tough out every single night. Western's going to be a tough out. There are not going to be very many gimmies in this Jefferson District.
I think specifically with Monticello, the thing that makes them such a tough out is the top-end speed that they have at the front of their lineup. They got so many athletes. We talked about a lot of football kids on this roster. These are baseball kids that play football.
Yeah.
Reed Huffman, Ben Riley, Kevin Jarrell, Jake Burns, all these guys, they can fly. And this is an aggressive team on the base paths. When you have that kind of overall team speed, you can make a whole lot of something out of just little plays. And it's a strikeout in the dirt in the bottom of the seventh that gets them the tying run at the plate. That's huge for them. To be able to get those kind of plays. And I think when you have a team that thrives on that kind of success, that's just hungry for it in that way, you have a very dangerous baseball team. Because what happens when this team just starts raking it? I mean, you see it when Carter puts one into the opposite field. Now they've got two runs in scoring position and a walk-off win. It's real simple.
Yeah. So early success, can it translate to sort of the long-term success that a lot of these teams are looking for? I don't know. We'll see. But it's already been an interesting spring, and we're only a couple of weeks in. So check back in with us, and we look forward to talking more about spring sports.